And you can see the title on the screen there. Don't know how many of you remember the old cartoon Love Is. Yeah. Is this still running? It's really ancient, right? But I don't know if it's still running. Was it in the Mail, the Express, or one of those papers? I don't know. But anyway, for those of you who are too young to know what earth I'm talking about, I apologize. But love is what? Well, you could say love is a prayer. How does that work? How does that fit? What does that mean to say that love is a prayer? Well, that's what we're going to be looking at from Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to have it read by, is it Sam coming to read for us?
Good morning, church. Yes, I'll be reading in the name of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1 to 11. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bands and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Amen.
A fantastic reader. Brilliant stuff. Thank you very much. So, from this passage, what are we going to learn today about love? What are we going to learn about prayer? Well, first, a little bit of background as to what Paul's doing here. The Apostle Paul wrote these words to the church in Philippi. What's the background to this? Well, you're not going to be able to see much of this, but nonetheless, there's a map of the Mediterranean. And you might just see, let me see, I animated this and see if it works. You might just be able to see a white line going from Antioch. You see my cursor there on the screen is going and showing you the route that Paul took as he planted churches through Asia Minor and across to Philippi, which is where we are today. That's circling there. That's Philippi. From there, he went to Athens and then on to Corinth. And there he goes across to Ephesus. Then he sails to Jerusalem and finally back up to Syrian Antioch, where he started. So that's what he's been up to, the Apostle Paul. If you want to look at the background of the church in Philippians, look up Acts chapter 16. And that tells you the story of how that church began. And of course, it began with a very interesting person who, let me ask you, how did it begin? Like, what was interesting about the way that the church began in Philippi? No synagogue. Okay. All right. Lydia, the dealer in purple cloth, responds to his message, and she's the first person baptized into Christ. There's only one major river in Philippi, and this is it. So it's probable that Lydia was baptized in that river. Maybe not that spot, but almost certainly that's where they were. They were by some water having that meeting, right? So that's almost certainly where she was baptized. So that's a bit of the background, the first European church. So the question today, going back to prayer and love, is this. How do we get from this point, at the beginning of the passage, I remember you, I'm constantly praying with joy. Praying with joy. I'm praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you. This is very all-encompassing, isn't it? How do we get from that to this bit later on in the passage, where it talks a bit more about prayer? This is my prayer. What is the prayer? He's always praying for all of them with joy all the time, that their love may overflow. More and more, having more and more knowledge, insight, determine what's best, so that you can be pure and blameless, producing the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus to the glory and praise of God. So how do we get from this sort of prayers of joy, constant prayers, to this sort of harvest of righteousness? There's a connection, right? This is all one kind of paragraph and thought for Paul. There's a connection between praying for one another, praying for other people, and the harvest of righteousness coming about because of the power of Christ through those people. There's a connection, which I don't think we've explored much before. So how do we get from the prayers for one another to the fruit of maturity is what we're talking about here. Now, I discovered my Apple Pencil the other day, and it can do drawings. So I've done you a nice drawing. Isn't it amazing? That's just incredible. I mean, Hockney would be proud of me. I could sell that, I'm sure, right? So, yes, there are some people in the children's classes who could do a lot better job than that, I know. So, but the point isn't how good a drawing it is, because the worse it is, the better you'll remember it is actually the point. So I deliberately made it a rough drawing. Obviously, you know, I could have made it amazing, but I knew it would stick better in your memory. So, you know, I'm helping you out by being rubbish. So what I want us to do, in a sense, is have this image in our minds all the time through this lesson, through what we're talking about here, in the roots of the tree. If the body of Christ is the trunk, is the tree, if you know what I mean? The church is the tree, right? The roots are like the prayers that individuals make for one another. So these prayers for one another are going to feed into the body of Christ. And then as a result of that, we have fruit. Some rather strange-looking fruit, I have to confess, but I'm looking at some strange-looking people, so that's not that big a deal. So I guess that's the kind of fruit we're going to have. So yeah, it's all in the mirror, Bill. Don't worry, I can see. So anyway, fruit coming from these prayers feeding into the body of Christ. You with me? I think that's what's going on here. Paul is saying the harvest of righteousness comes, at least partly, by praying with joy for one another constantly. That's quite a thought. How do we mature in Christ? How do we become as a church all that God wants us to be? At least part of the answer must be by praying joyfully for one another. Praying joyfully for one another. So let's explore this briefly today. So first of all, what does he say in the way that he prays? He says he prays with joy in every one of my prayers. Now, sometimes I've prayed for people, and I'll be honest, I haven't always been feeling joyful in that prayer. Like if I've got an issue with somebody, right? You know, I got a problem, they've caused me some pain or something, I might be praying for them, but I'm maybe not praying with a smile on my face or in my heart. But he says, I'm praying with joy for everyone in every one of my prayers for all of you. And through those prayers also, he's feeling confident in them. Like all that church, I don't know how many people were in the church in Philippi, but more than we have here, I'm pretty sure. He's confident for every single one of them. Feels that, his confidence. The one who began a good work, that's Christ, will finish it. And he says, I know that you hold me in your heart, and the relationship is strong. You share in God's grace. God is my witness how I long for all of you. I long for all of you. He's sad that he's separated from this group in prison, as it turns out. So here is my provocative question for you. All right, which you don't have to answer out loud, right? And I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad or guilty, but I think a provocative question sometimes is useful for helping us to think in a sober way. So I'm going to ask you this question. What are the names of the last 5 members of this church that you pray for? I'm not asking you to tell me, just in, you know, and obviously if you're not a member here or you're not here regularly, you get a free pass for 1 week only. After this, you have to pray for us. What are the names of the last 5? Can you remember who you've prayed for recently? And your spouse doesn't count. Sorry. Okay. Nor do your children. Okay. Or your grandchildren. Okay. No, it doesn't count. All right. No. It has to be somebody outside your family. All right. You're right. Okay. So who have you... Since you've been in the home, you've been praying for five people. The staff, they need it, don't they? They need it, that kind of work. That's really good you're doing that. I mean, you're caring for them as they're caring for you, right? You care for each other in different ways. All right, that's a beautiful thing. So I think this is the kind of thing we actually need to think about, right? Now, I put five up there. I could have put one. I could have put 10, right? It's not the number isn't the point. Not trying to make this mechanistic or anything like that. But it's because it's about the heart here. Paul has them in his heart. They have him in his heart. Anyway, you know what I mean. They have each other in their hearts. Now, when I read this and been studying this all week, this passage made me think. And since the middle of the week, I've been praying for every member of the people that regularly come here. I've been praying every day for all of you. On Thursday, Friday, Saturday, this morning, I brought all of you to mind. Sorry some of you are here for the first time. I haven't met you before. But all the people who come here regularly, I've been praying every day. And I've been doing it like this. This is a bit, not silly, but this is a bit basic because it helps me to get into it, right? So I've just been saying, God, this morning, I'm praying with joy for Bruce Miller. I put the joy word in there because I want to remind myself that's meant to be the quality of my prayer, right? Even if I don't feel it. I mean, a bit difficult with Bruce, but even if I don't feel it, by just saying it and then imagining what that would be like, it helps me to actually pray with joy for Bruce, to pray with joy for Maggie, to pray with joy for Sarah. And I've been doing that the last several days, and it has really been a wonderful experience. It's warmed my heart. I don't know quite how to put it. I've just felt different about the church. I felt more joy personally this morning worshiping with you, I think because I've been doing that. It also exposed to me where I'm not close to some people, because some names trip off my tongue more easily because I've prayed for them more regularly or I know them better. And there were other people, I'll be honest, the first day I did this on, I think it was Thursday, I went in my head. I didn't have a physical list. I have a physical list, but I had it in my head, and I prayed while I was out in the woods. And I have to confess, I actually forgot some people. I thought in my head, I've gone through the whole list of everybody, and then I took out the list on my phone just to check. And I thought, oh, I forgot Stefan. Oh, sorry, Stefan. Oh, man. He was in Spain. I mean, a long way away. Somebody forgot about... and it was funny because, in fact, every day I forgot somebody. This morning, I forgot one person. Well, that was my best day so far. Excuse me. I feel emotional when I talk about this. It was sobering for me, but it was also encouraging. It really warmed my heart, made me feel connected and enjoying the worship here this morning. But I also realized there are some people who just slip off the memory and out of mind. And that's not a good thing. And I'm not saying I have to pray for everybody every day, or you do. That's not in the least my point. But it's been a good exercise for me to notice then, where are my relationships close? Where are they not? Or also, the other thing is done, you know, when I pray for some people, I know what to pray about. I know. Other people, I prayed for them, but what do they actually need right now? I don't really know. So I can pray me. I still pray generally. It's still okay. But do I know what they need? Not always. That was, again, sobering for me and helpful. Ignorance of people's needs. And just maybe think about how will God mature us? How will God bond us together in his unity that nothing can break? Surely at least part of it is by praying for one another with joy, even in anticipation of joy, even if you don't feel it, because we trust God. He will help us with this. He says that I pray with joy because of your sharing in the gospel. And that really struck me as well. Because sharing in the gospel, I think, is shorthand for sharing in the life of Christ together. It's the sort of doing life together as Christians point. not coming to the same building to sing songs point, but doing the Christian life together. And the more we do that, the more we'll know what to pray about, and the more we'll have each other in our hearts and minds. And I think that's an encouragement to me, and maybe to some of us, to get more involved in each other's lives, not just services. Doing life together. It says you shared in the gospel, you share in God's grace, and you kind of share in my imprisonment. He's in prison at the time. And in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, they are connected, you know, in many different ways. And I know we all have busy lives, and I know we all have our own problems, and we would like people to pray for us. But I believe that we can pray for other people with joy, no matter what's going on right now in your life. It might be the roughest time in your life. You can still pray for other people. If Paul could do it in prison, right, he's there for 2 years in Rome, in house arrest. And on this occasion, he was in prison several times, but on this occasion, he's under house arrest. If he can, he's probably in Rome at the time. He might be in Ephesus because he was in prison there as well. We're not entirely sure, but nonetheless, he's in prison. If he can pray with joy in prison, I can pray with joy for people, right? I can. I need God's help, but I can do it. I can do it. Somebody said this about the book of Philippians. This is Paul's great singing letter. It was at Philippi that he had sung in prison at midnight in the company of Silas. Now he was again in prison, this time in Rome. Remember in Philippi, he's in prison and he and Silas are singing at midnight. Singing in prison, praying with joy for people in prison. We can do something similar. I believe we can. A few years ago, Penny and I were in Rome on a tour, and not the imprisonment that was a house arrest, but another imprisonment in Rome that we believe he had was very likely in this place. This is just off the Forum in Rome. Again, it's not certain, but even if it's not the exact space, it would have been very like the kind of prison he was held in the second time when then he was executed. This is a dungeon. I mean, it seems quite light there, but there is no light in that dungeon. That's for tourists, right? So they don't get sued if you fall over or something. So they put light in there, but it was dark, no windows, nothing. It's a dungeon. You have to go down a winding staircase beneath a flagstone floor where there's a little grill. There's just a grill at the top where they can lower food in or something like that. He was in a place like that, praying with joy. Honestly, that challenges my faith. Praying with joy whilst in prison. Somebody else said this about Paul, or rather like this quote there, the happiest man in Rome was Paul, the prisoner for Christ. No one was happier than him, even though he was in prison. He was praying with joy for the people in his heart and who had him in their heart. What a beautiful thought. Praying for one another. We might reference this scripture as well, where Paul wrote to the Ephesians and he said, pray in the Spirit. In other words, you're not praying in your flesh, out of your own strength, but pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Praying with joy. And secondly, briefly, praying with purpose. How do we find those roots of prayer flowing into the fruits of righteousness? Well, partly because we pray with purpose for one another. Now, I've already touched on this, knowing each other's lives, what each other needs, praying in those ways. He's praying specifically that their love would abound, that they would be able to discern what's best and be pure and blameless, and that they be filled with the fruit of righteousness. So he's got things on his mind. He's not praying randomly. There are things he's praying about for them. The love word there is agape, the eating together in love idea. Abounding more and more means to overflow. It means very great, excessive, extremely emphatic, surpassing, all the more, ever increasing. That they come into more knowledge, understanding, having more discernment, a complete capacity for understanding how to live the Christian life, I think is what he's talking about there. Being determined. Going through tests, being sincere, having a pure motivation, being without offense. I think there he's talking about being blameless or without offense. I think he's talking about not causing problems amongst the Christian community, but in fact healings. causing love to grow, not offense, not division or lukewarmness, but faith and joy and love in the Spirit. Being filled with the fruits, that's the harvest, of righteousness, living a life of love and righteousness with God and other Christians, I think is what he's talking about. Other people demonstrated this, not only Paul. Epaphras, who writing to the Colossians, who is one of you, he's always wrestling in his prayers on your behalf. So Paul sets the ultimate example, but he's not the only one. Standing mature then, that they will, and be able to do everything that God wills. And why do we do this? I like this reference in Galatians 6. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. How do we show love to one another? We bear each other's burdens. One of the ways we bear each other's burdens is by praying for one another. We lift each other up in Christ. We take burdens off people because God is able to heal and lift the burdens when we're not. I had a moving experience on Friday. Some of you know I'm part of a unity prayer group in Watford with two other Christian ministers. We've been meeting to pray once a month on a Friday for several years now. We meet and drink coffee and chat about life and about faith and God, and we pray together. This particular week, one of the group had an incredibly challenging two or three weeks. I can't tell you the details now because it's too personal, but I mean, I thought anything I've been through recently pales into insignificance compared to what he has been through. It was incredibly challenging. And so normally each of us will share a bit and then we'll pray. But after he'd shared for about half an hour about the situations he was involved in, we were just like, we can't talk about our issues. They are nothing compared to what he's been through. We need to pray. So we changed our normal pattern. And we just prayed for a while, the three of us. And all of us were crying. All three blokes. We were all just crying in prayer because it was just so intense. And we were comforted. He was comforted by the prayers together. It was a wonderful time. And then the other two of us got to share a little bit and pray a bit more. But it's in moments like that that you think, I think this is real, genuine Christian fellowship. You know, it's the hard stuff here. And bringing it together to God in prayer just makes it powerful somehow. And even though we were praying in tears, truthfully, by the time we were finished, we were praying with joy because we were sharing in all this together with one another, supporting one another, especially him and his challenges. We do this not because it's a good idea, but because it comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. That's why. We don't do it for our own secular benefit in some strange way. We do it because of through Christ and for God's glory. So to wrap up, and before we take bread and wine and the Lord's Supper here, just a couple of thoughts. In praying for one another, we're only imitating Jesus. He prayed for us. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them. Praying for his followers. Jesus does this, and he continues to do this. May they be completely one, he prays, and that they would know that you've loved them as you've loved. I mean, that's his heart for us. He was praying for us, and he still does. Christ died, raised at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. He's still praying for us. So we, in praying for one another, are only imitating what he's doing for us. So it's a discipleship thing. It's a Christ-likeness thing. So I'll finish off with a few questions for us to meditate on, and then we're going to have a prayer. Esther's going to be praying for us. If we're not praying for one another with joy, what does that reveal for you? If you're not there, what does it reveal? It might reveal different things to you than it reveals to me. But if we're not praying for one another with joy, what does it reveal? Are there any unresolved issues? Is there a guardedness in your own heart towards really getting deep in your love with other people? In the end, perhaps going back to what I call a drawing, In the end, something in this passage is teaching us. What is it teaching us? It's teaching us that as we pray for one another, sincerely, with joy, it feeds all of God's strength and power somehow into the body, into the trunk, into the church, such that then we are, personally and collectively, able to bear a harvest of righteousness, fruit that glorifies God. And the great thing about this point, it's a simple point, isn't it, really? It's not complex, right? The great thing about this simple point, and perhaps the reason why no one's written a book on it that I'm aware of, there are lots of books about how churches thrive and grow, lots of books about how to be fruitful and have a harvest of righteousness, but I haven't heard a book about just praying for one another. One of the reasons that there is no book is because it is so simple. It's not complicated, and that's the beautiful thing about this. It's something all of us can do. So I commend this point to you. I hope you take it to heart, and we can all, this week, pray for one another with joy. Maybe just pick two or three people to pray about for each day. Maybe just one. It doesn't really matter. But let's practice the prayers of joy like Paul did. Esther, would you like to come up and pray for us? And then we will sort of celebrate this and take it all to God by taking the bread and wine together in the Lord's Supper.
Thank you, Malcolm. Thank you for reminding us why we need to pray. And now I remember the tree, and it's here, and I remember the trunk, and I'm one of the fruit, the purple fruit on the tree. Thank you. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reminder today for why we pray. We pray because it brings us close to you and because it teaches us to think of others and to love them more. Thank you for showing us through Paul's word in Philippians that prayer is not just about asking, but trusting in your work. Lord, we pray for one another here in this church, for our families and friends, and also for those who could not be with us today. We lift up our church as we prepare for a change in leadership in the coming months. Please guide our leaders with wisdom, give us unity, and help us stay rooted in Christ like branches in the tree. And God, we pray with expectation. We trust that you will keep growing our love, giving us insight to make good choices, and finishing the good work you began in us. We pray our prayers, our love, and our fruits will bring glory and praise to you. In God we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.